Welcome into Time Out with Taylor Rooks, now on the SNY.TV audio network. Today's guest is Michael Beasley, who is about to begin his first season with the New York Knicks. And in this episode, he talks about really his perception in the league and among fans and how he's working every day to really change that narrative of him being a troublemaker or a weed head or a bad decision maker, whatever it may be. He's past that, and he wants everyone else to be past that as well and recognize who he is as a man and a player and really sheds a new refreshing light on that. Beasley also clears the air with Stephen A. Smith and explains that entire situation. Also, a lot of people have been asking why he is wearing a wristwatch on his ankle. I guess that maybe makes it an ankle watch. I don't know, but he is wearing one, and I ask him about it, and he explains it. He also gives an argument as to how people should react when racial insults come their way. We certainly disagreed on that, but it was a very, very interesting debate. So be sure to subscribe to Time Out with Taylor Rooks on iTunes and SoundCloud by searching Time Out with Taylor Rooks. But for now, here's Michael Beasley. So Michael Beasley finally arrived to the studio for the podcast. I used to, tell everyone, Michael, about what, an hour late? But it's okay.
I went 30 minutes, actually.
Even worse, an hour late.
I'm gonna be honest, like, I wasn't late on purpose. Is anybody ever late on purpose?
No.
Like I wasn't like being a diva or anything like that. So
you just happened to be late?
Yeah, I just like it was a busy day.
It was a busy day. I did see that you went boxing today with the Knicks. Was that today?
Yeah.
How did that go?
That lasted longer than I expected. That kind of really got the ball rolling on me being late here. But it was fun. You know, the whole team was there. Got a good sweat, great workout. My kids was there. They worked out. So
were you guys kind of doing a series of just team building activities before the season actually starts?
Like, I think that the main thing about every championship team is the camaraderie. Mm-hmm. Like, every championship team done something together, whether it was golf, whether it was Outback Steakhouse, whether it was nightclubs every night. Like, they all done something together.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think we're starting to build that. Like, today we did the boxing, we all went out to eat. We've been hooping all week together, well, for 2 weeks, almost 3 weeks. You know, so just building that camaraderie, building that sense of brotherhood, because, you know, if I know you and I like you, then I fight harder for you, mm-hmm. not just on the basketball court, but period, you know? So it just builds that, like, team unity, I guess.
Is there anybody on the team that you maybe had, like, preconceived notions about or weren't sure how you'd click with them that you meet now and you think is pretty dope?
No. Because everybody thinks that about me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm that guy that
turns out. You're the guy that people have the misconceptions about.
Yeah.
Did you maybe feel some of that with the Knicks?
I feel that everywhere I go.
Yeah.
Everywhere I go. And I'm used to it at this point. You know, I just roll with it and laugh. You know, and the people that don't want to get to know me or, you know, I guess live by the perception they think they know of me, it's your loss. I'm actually a pretty dope guy.
Yeah. So as a player and you come into the situation and you maybe think that people think something wrong about you already, how do you attack changing that perception within your team?
Me personally,
mm-hmm.
I don't even think. I literally just go and I be me. I'm obnoxious. I can't curse.
We can bleep it out.
I'm like super obnoxious.
Yeah.
So, like, I'm one of those people you, like, either love or hate, you know? Like, I'm not like, annoying, I'm not, like, but, like, when I talk, I bounce around, I'm loud. When I'm happy, I whistle, I sing, and when I know I can't, like, I'm just me at, like, all times of the day, at all costs, like, mm-hmm. good and bad. So I just attack it by being me.
Yeah. Do you think that in certain ways, and I know you, I definitely want to talk to you about what Stephen A. Smith said about you. I know you were highly upset about that, rightfully so. Why do you think that that perception of, you know, weed or partying or whatever it is continues to go with you, even though it was so long ago?
Because once I got in trouble with the perception of weed and anything else, I took it upon myself to just run. So I just told you I just moved from Tennessee. I was there for about 7 years, 6 years, and my town population was 300 people. You know, so literally, like, I just ran from all things media, all things. So if I see you and say you're just drunk, just belligerent, just blasted today, and that's my first recollection of you. If I don't see you again for 7 years, next time I see you, I'm going like, bro, you remember you was, you know? So it's my part. Yeah, you know, I got in trouble and, you know, I take that blame and I, you know, I've owned that and I've owned up to it. I've taken the responsibilities, the ridicule and whatever. But I haven't given you anything else to think about. You know, and that's where I come now. Like, I have to make a conscious effort to change.
You need a new narrative.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Like, I've had no narrative, and the only thing that you can relate to me is the fact that I got in trouble with weed. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm giving a new narrative, I guess. You know, giving a new person. Like, I just want people to understand who I am morally. Who I am as a person, who I am to my kids and my family. That's it.
You have extremely cute kids, by the way.
Thank you.
I have seen them all over your Instagram. And it's funny because when I was reading about this, I had Snoop Dogg on the podcast once, and he was talking about weed, and he said that he stopped smoking for an entire football season because he coaches a youth team. And they came up to him and they said, "You smell like my mom's boyfriend," saying that he smelled like weed. And he said, "I don't want kids to think that about me.
Yeah.
I don't want the kids I'm around to think that."
100%.
And I know that you said half of the reason you said I'm done doing this is because of your children.
Yeah.
Just the impact that they have had on that.
It's not even the smell of it that I hide from my, like, I haven't, you know,
right,
around my kids. Like, so if my kids see me with a blunt or a lighter or a bag of weed, it might as well be an astronaut or an alien to them because they don't know what it is,
mm-hmm.
You know? And that was my whole rant behind the Steven thing. And me and Steven actually made up today, you know?
Good, you guys spoke.
Yeah, and it was all just a misunderstanding. I said the 25, the capability of, you know, he took it as me saying four guys can average, you know, but me. No, I mean, just because you're capable of doing something don't mean it actually comes into force.
Yeah, you're just saying you can.
Yeah,
right.
You know. And if you look on his career, like, literally everybody that says something dumb, that's the first thing he say. What is he smoking?
Yeah, that's, you his know? Go-to kind of phrase. Yeah.
Once he said "we," it just brought me back to my perception, and that's what I felt like it was doing to the public, like. And that's, I just felt bad about that because I'm like making a conscious effort.
You're doing what you can to get out of that.
And you just put me right back into it, you know? But he called and, you know, he said, "Bro, just like you haven't thought about that in years, I haven't thought about that in years." So that's why I was so comfortable saying what I said, you know, because he said it before to about different guys and different professions and you know, even about some of his colleagues. Mm-hmm. You know, so it was just a misunderstanding. I'm happy it was because I took 2 days off the First Take. And I actually like that show.
He said, I ain't watching it no more. Well, I am happy that you guys resolved it, and I do hope you're able to move forward. I'm sure you will be able to move forward. Being in New York, on the court, people will soon start. You already have all of these quotes out right now about being your favorite player's favorite player.
I am.
And all of these things that people aren't even thinking about the weed. that's not on anybody's mind. And you also look incredibly stylish right now. Obviously, the listeners can't see you, so I'm going to describe what you have on.
Go.
He has on a crew neck that says GOAT in New York, of course, greatest of all time in New York. Lots of tattoos. Listen to this. I don't even know how to explain this. He has on two wristwatches, and then he also has a watch on his ankle, like on his leg. That's what's going on right now, and his hat says Daddy. So I'm going to start with the ankle watch, because what's going on down there? I've never seen that.
I'm just finding a New Balance.
Finding a New Balance, like, of time?
No, that's like the new catchphrase.
Okay.
You know, I don't have swag. I don't have fun swag. I'm not cool. You know, I'm just balanced. I caught my balance.
You're doing your own thing.
Yeah, I'm just balanced.
So we know now that if we see anybody with a watch,
if you see anybody with a watch,
they took it from you.
If you see anybody with a watch on their leg, they took my balance.
Yes, and that means they're unbalanced, right?
It means they're unbalanced.
Yeah.
You're getting it.
They are unbalanced if they took your watch, look.
Yeah, 100%.
My other question, you have a tattoo like on your jawline. Yeah. What
nobody,
language
nobody ever
is
knows
that?
It's English. It's just my kind of, it says ESF.
It does. It's just kind of like in just calligraphy.
Funky. Yeah, calligraphy.
Okay. You also have your nails painted.
Mm-hmm.
What gave you the idea to do that? What made you want to do it?
Or a bossy four-year-old?
Your daughter said, I'm painting your nails, Dad.
Oh, yeah, but when she does it, it's not as pretty. So I go to the nail shop with her and, you know, all my daughters. We go and we sit there and I teach them how to get dolled up and look pretty. And
Very sweet.
They teach me how to get dolled up and look pretty.
And you were comfortable enough to do your nails that way. That's very dope. Do that for your daughters.
Listen,
I love it.
If anybody got a problem with what I do with my daughters, then I got a problem with you, you know.
I feel it.
I feel like dads should come more into their feminine side because of our daughters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you see too many girls grow up with daddy issues, and even the ones with fathers in their life, that dad's so tough and stern. And like, I cry with my kids. I let my kids know when I'm sad and when I'm happy and when I'm mad and if I like this and if I don't like that, and we talk about what they don't like and what they do like, and, you know, my son, like, I, like, now the dilemma I'm dealing with now is my sons.
Okay.
I took all of them to, you know, get their feet and nails done. And my sons usually just get a manicure or pedicure, because that's just what I used to get.
Yeah.
What I used to get. But I couldn't come up with a good enough excuse or reason to, as to why I was painting my nails and they couldn't. So now my son's got blue and orange.
No way.
Yeah.
That I actually think that's really cute.
I mean,
they're kids.
And they don't know that it's quote unquote gay or unmanly or, you know, and my thing is being a man is being comfortable. Like Young Thug. Young Thug is my favorite rapper. Behind Rich Homie Quan, of course.
I've never heard anyone say their favorite rapper is Rich Homie Quan.
Really?
Never. And I'm from the South.
Well, it's probably I might be a little biased. He's one of my best friends.
Okay. Like, you know, you usually get like Jay-Z.
No. Okay, now Jay-Z is an untouchable.
Yes.
Like, I won't even disrespect Jay-Z as to put him on a list with any of these guys. Like, don't.
Right.
Drake is on his way. Lil Wayne is one of the untouchables. I gotta say Biggie because I'm in New York.
Yeah, because you're New York, Biggie,
I'm a Tupac fan.
Okay, but Tupac's up there too.
You know, like if you want to get down to my real list, you got, you know, Jay-Z. I'm a Big L fan. Raekwon, Eazy-E. You know, I like old school, but I'm a hardcore New York hip hop head.
And you're in the right place.
You know, like, I love lyrics. I want you to spit these bars. I want you to say something that I can't say or I can't think of, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I like Young Thug. I love Young Thug.
Have you ever thought about rapping?
Yeah.
Can you rap?
I mean, can I put words together?
Like, do you sound good when you attempt to rap?
I think I do.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, could you?
I can let you hear a verse that I did, like, maybe.
Can you freestyle?
6 years ago? Not on the spot, no.
So it's not a freestyle?
I can dunk a basketball on the spot.
Which is a little cooler. Yeah. I take the dunking the basketball.
But yeah, so, like, Young Thug is, like, my favorite rapper because he'll put on a dress and beat up whoever don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Like, that right there is, like, the manliest thing you can do. Like he made me wear a dress before.
Really? You wore a dress?
Yeah.
What kind? What was the style?
It was from Zara's.
I like Zara.
It was meant to be.
I may have the dress.
It was burgundy. You know the dresses that's like a t-shirt up top?
Uh-huh.
And like go down right here?
Okay, yeah. So it was a long t-shirtish dress.
But what I did is like cut it in the middle twice, tied it to where you can see my jeans. But the back was still down here. I mean, it was a dress. I cut it up a little funky.
It added to your balance.
Yeah, you know, just had to catch my balance.
I'm a big believer in people expressing themselves and doing whatever they want in whichever way that is.
Yeah, and we all grew up with this saying, sticks and stones may break my bones,
but words will never hurt me.
But ever since that saying come out, I can name 25 words that we cannot say anymore publicly. But sticks and stones, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, we as a society are too hung up on words. Like, even if someone calls you a bad name, like okay, if I'm walking down the street and you come, say you're white, and you come call me the N-word. Can I say that on? No, I'm not gonna say that.
You can say the N-word, like the N-word.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. All right. And you come call me the N-word, me being black, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna let it ruin my life, potentially go to jail, because you had a bad day, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, think about it. Like, you call me the N-word. You're white, I'm black. And the stereotypical response to the N-word is, oh, I'm going to beat you up. I'm going to kill you. Don't ever say that. Bro, it's a word, bro.
So then if someone did that to you, what would you do?
If someone calls me the N-word,
yes.
I'm going to laugh and say, bro, I'm sorry that you had a, you know, like, take it out on me, bro. I'm like, why would I let that ruin my day? Why would I let that potentially ruin my life? Like, someone beating someone up because they called you a word.
Now, I tend to think that in that scenario, obviously beating up is not
any
the
scenario.
Go-to.
No, but that's like the
stereotypical. But I think that the way you would handle it is probably the way I would handle it. Not in anger, but just saying, like, I am sad that in this day and age, you still feel the need to call me that word. But,
no,
I mean, I don't let
that.
Anybody take me
it
out of my
even
peace.
Like,
so
I'm sad that in this day and age, you still think that word hurts me.
Yeah.
Like, let's grow up. Like, at the end of the day, you never took a whip, and they never gave a whip. Like, literally, like, and I hate this about society. Like, we always say we go through things and let's learn from it and grow and get better and move on, but we never move on. That was fucking Oh, I'm sorry.
It's okay. I can't believe
that. It was 400
that.
Years ago.
But I also think the word you use in the sense of you're equating that word simply to slavery, which when you use the term whip. But that word to some people isn't just about slavery. It's about racism in general, and it's about people being dehumanized with that word.
But we're going to let that word continue to hold us down. So you can call me the N-word, and I can call you, the C-word, I guess.
Is that the equivalent?
I guess. I don't want to say it on live if I can. I feel like if they can't say the N-word, then why are we allowed to say, why are we allowed to call them what we call them out loud, right?
I mean, I hear you, and I understand that.
Right?
I just disagree.
Why?
Because I don't think that it's about, I don't think that people hear that word and let it ruin their day. What they
but
hear
we
is,
do.
I don't think so. It never ruins my day. I have been called it. It did not ruin my day.
You can't speak for the masses.
I think there's a little movement. With that word is just like, you shouldn't be saying it to me. It doesn't mean you're angry, but it also reaches a point where you're not going to let someone disrespect you by saying the word.
But why are you letting it disrespect you if just you're going to turn around?
Something can be disrespectful without disrespecting you.
I know,
you.
But you're going to turn around and then say it to your friend 25 times and... Literally, we made it such a word to where everybody should be able to say it. Like, literally. We made it an endearing term. So,
I think that people have made it, and I'm not advocating using it to anyone, but I think that people have made it an endearing term within that group.
But if it's an endearing term, it's an endearing term.
I disagree.
It's a word that we get hung up on that, bro... We don't even know if it means what we think it means.
Yes, we do.
No, we don't.
How do we not know?
Like Caucasian. What does that mean?
Caucasian?
Yeah. Tell me what that means.
Caucasian is people that are white. They are from caucus. Yeah, people know
not
what
Caucasian. People that are white. People.
I went on to explain what I was saying. The
people from Caucasus Mountain that think they're prettier than the rest of the white people.
Okay, but I'm saying...
I know, so...
Caucasian isn't a derogatory word.
It's meant to be derogatory, though.
No, it's not. That's not true.
The people of the Caucasus... Look it up. I swear to God.
No, I'm saying when people use the word Caucasian now...
No, that's because we dumbed it down. That's, my point exactly. It was invented because the people of the Caucasus Mountains thought they were pretty and better than everybody else. So I'm not white. I'm Caucasian. Now... We dumbed it down to now everybody's Caucasian. And that is my point exactly. We're going to sit here and call each other the N-word. And it's a word. Literally, okay, I got something for you.
No, I think it's great that you want to take the power out of the word, but I don't think that means that anybody should call
No, 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 I don't, I don't, I don't. I'm not saying I'm not saying that I want this white guy, the next white guy I see to call me that.
Yeah.
All I'm saying is, if he feels impelled too, why would I let that bother me? That's all I'm saying.
I don't think anyone should be bothered by it.
So let's go back to words and the definitions and things like that. You know, every word had to be wrote by somebody. Like, somebody had to write everything ever, right? So I say that to say, let me see how I can put this. Without setting the world on fire. Because
I will never know how we got here, but I'm into it.
All right. So if you look up, right, you can research the human brain and right?
Okay.
It says that we are only capable of using 10% of our brain, right?
Yes.
You believe that?
No, that's.
Is you about to say it's true?
I'm saying that's what people say. That is the consensus scientifically.
So who was the guy that used 11 that made it okay to say everybody just using 10?
That isn't the right logic.
No,
10% of your brain is the one that said 10%.
No, because if you're only using 10% of your brain, you don't even know that you're using 10% of your brain.
He knew it was 10% of your brain based on your brain. You don't have to be using 11% to know someone else's 10%. He's saying, I'm 10%, you're 10%. Like, everyone's 10%. That is not mathematically correct.
That is mathematically, like someone had
but to. But you have to have been using more than 10% of your brain to know that everyone else uses 10?
Yes, because if you're only using 10% of something, that means you don't know the rest of the 90. You don't know the rest of the 90.
Yeah, you're right.
So I'm right. Perfect.
No. You're right about the 90 and the 10.
Okay, so if I'm only using 10, right? I'm the first person in the world, right? Say I'm Adam, and I wrote that we can only use 10% of our brains. That means I would have to surpass the number 10.
No, okay, let me break this down for you.
You can break it down.
I'm a doctor. I am looking at a brain. No, let
a
me
doctor,
finish.
Listen. I get what you're saying. A doctor has to learn something. And everything a doctor learns is man-written. And everything a doctor learns is man-written. So you can sit there and tell me you learned it. And yes, I agree with you. I agree with you 100%. But it was a word that somebody else concocted.
No, that's not what I'm saying. No. Your argument was that the person that said 10% used more. And I'm saying that is not the truth.
You're still hung up on my example. We're still stuck on the N word. And I'm trying to bring it all together. See?
It's all coming in one thing.
This is what I'll take from this whole thing.
You are completely entitled to believe that. You're not wrong in feeling that way about the N word.
Yeah.
But I don't think that we're gonna change the other person's mind.
I'm not out to change anybody's mind. I literally just wanna know. Like everything I ask, everything I say is really just a question. It's like,
and
why
you're more
is
wanting
it
to explore.
That way? I want to explore. Like this 10% thing. Like you can't sit here and tell me that I can only use 10 when you can only use 10. Because in order to see the number 10, you have to pass it to 11 and look back. You know what I'm saying? So all I'm saying is the words that we use were concocted by someone that thought a hammerhead shot should be called a hammerhead shot just because it looked like a hammer that we invented. Like, we don't know the actual term, the actual words, the actual definition behind the words that we use.
We just know the word was created and someone gave it a meaning.
Like the word Caucasian.
Okay. Well, I know something that we can both agree on, hopefully, is basketball. So let's talk about basketball. Because how we got there, I liked it, but I don't even know how we got there. But I, of course, have some questions about the Knicks. As you spin, this is fun. This is an adventure. My question for you, obviously, you're in New York now, and I have always thought, and tell me if this is true, that it seems like there may be a perception among NBA players that the Knicks are a place you wouldn't want to go to, or that it's troubled, or there's always turmoil here. Is that true, and did you ever have that hesitation when you decided you were going to come to the Knicks?
You seen my career lately?
You were like, I'm going to go where I can.
I ain't really got too many eggs in the basket, the truth.
Yeah, but did you have a perception of the Knicks?
My perception of the Knicks is the mecca of basketball. Now, what's been going on here lately as far as not making the playoffs or the controversy and stuff like that, now you look at every team got controversy. It's just New York is the biggest media capital of the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's literally, when I change my shoe, and if I don't tie it like the bunny ears, then they're going to write 25 million stories on it, and it's going to seem like the worst thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we're in the media capital of the world. But the same thing goes on in Oklahoma. The same thing just went on with Paul George in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a smaller market, so not as many people hear about it. You know, like I say that to say, me looking at New York and thinking what you just asked is the same reason I got mad at Stephen A. Smith for judging me on my possession, or so to speak. No, he didn't.
Yeah.
No, but I thought, judging me on my perception. Like, I would be...
Except those things happened like a month ago. Yours happened years ago.
Whether they happened or not, like, you gotta give everybody a fair shot at it.
Completely. But I'm like, wondering if you even had that perception in your head.
Like, really, everybody thinks New York, and first thing they talk about is the ridicule, the hate from the fans. But I like, in order to hate me, you have to love me somewhere, right? So if you come into these games and you hate me and you hate the way we play and something I'm going to do. I can tweak something to make you love it because you're here. You're here.
Well, winning.
You know, and
would do that.
That's the tweak.
Mm-hmm.
That's literally the tweak. It's the mecca of basketball. So if you do win here, when we do win here, it's going to be something to talk about. It's going to be something to speak about. Just like how everything bad gets 25 write-ups, okay, you got to throw the other shoe on, and now everything good's going to get 25 write-ups, you know? But this is what I challenge New York fans to do and to stop that.
Okay, let's hear it.
Because I walk around, and so many people say, man, I'm a diehard New York fan, man, but I'm just not a believer. Like, bro, then you're not a diehard New York fan.
Yeah.
Like, New York fans speak so negatively of the Knicks, and like I believe everything we speak comes into fruition. So I don't know, like maybe if y'all start saying we were good.
If they put that into the universe?
Maybe we would be good.
It's all on the fans.
Like, no, not all on the fans, but I'm just saying, like, you know just as well as I know.
Yeah.
We need as much help as we can get.
Mm-hmm. So if New Yorkers heard that, that's your challenge.
If we can be positive and speak us into the playoffs or into the championship or speak an MVP on our team, because I'll tell you one thing. Last year, I was with the Milwaukee Bucks, and nobody expected us to win 30 games last year. I said that I believe we have a chance to be the 6th or 7th seed. We were the 5th. I didn't say this, but nobody would have pegged Giannis Antetokounmpo for being an MVP candidate last year. Like, but we worked, he worked, we came together, and we were 5th seed. Why the same thing can't happen here?
Okay. And you did say, actually, that New York would be 6th or 7th.
I say 5 or 6.
You said 5 or 6?
Yeah.
Even better.
Like, man, listen, I've been going through so much ridicule, so if I say something that don't happen, I don't care. I don't, like, bug me for it. I don't, like, I'm so old.
I mean, what do they expect you to say? We're not going to make the playoffs?
That's my thing. Yeah. Like, if you're a competitive human, not even a basketball player, like, I go into every situation, I'm never going to lose a debate, a race, a basketball game. Like, you're not going to get me to believe, even if I lose 100 times in a row, like, I'm going to get here, you're not going to get me to believe I lose. I'm going to lose, you know? So, what did everybody expect me to say? Oh, man, we suck, and hopefully we win 25 games. And, like, well, I don't know who y'all think I am, but I'm not that guy.
Yeah. Okay. I'm sure we're going to have plenty of questions about the Knicks in our Twitter questions, so let's get to those. A lot of questions about the ankle watch, but you explained that, so it's okay.
No, it's my ankle watch. Me wearing so many watches, like that one says, this one says 8:55. This one's actually right. Nice. Is it the 22nd?
It is the 22nd.
Ooh, I got one that's right. And this one says 6:35. I don't wear watches to tell time.
It's just to have them on for
No, I wear, like, I mean, it's a style. Like, I like to just be funky and quirky and new, and I feel like that's where fashion comes from. But, like, too many times you walk around and everybody's in their phone, and everybody's just here, and it's like, nobody has a, no, oh, they changed, look. Nobody has a decent conversation.
You guys, his nails just changed colors. They were orange. Now they're green and brown, and I am, like, freaking out.
nobody cares to have a decent conversation anymore. And when you come and you say, yo, why you got a watch on your ankle? I can explain it to you.
It sparks that dialogue.
A dope conversation.
Okay, next question. What makes the opportunity playing with the Knicks different than your previous teams? How have you matured from your time with the Heat?
Bro, I was with the Heat like 6 years ago.
That's the question. I am the messenger.
How have I matured since my time from the Heat? I mean, I'm more cognitive of my decisions. And not even because of me, but because of my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, my daughter can read. I got four kids that can read. And everything I do, they can see now. Because, my daughter, she's nosy. Like, she's nosy. My oldest. So if she want to know something about me or if I ain't answering my phone or something like that, she'd go straight to Google and Google my name. And, you know, what pops up is what pops up. So that's like really the main reason, because I don't want my daughter to think of her father as anything other than her father, you know? And to take it a step further, I don't want her friends to come. Like, she doesn't deserve the ridicule for the things I do. So if her 5 and 6 and 7 and 8 and 9 year old friends read Michael Beasley did such and such, such and such, such and such, that's just ammo for them to go to school and for them to bully my daughter, you know? And it's just that reason right there, man. It's just that reason right there. Like, just gotta be better.
Well, that's great. I think that's extremely touching. I am so happy you joined the podcast. It was probably the most interesting episode.
Was it? Is that more interesting than the world being flat?
If only we had time to get to that. We have to wrap up, but you were great. My message to everyone out there is do not let the N-word get you killed.
Yes. Or don't let the N-word send you to jail. Like, grow up.
I will say it again. I will say it one more time for the people in the back. Do not walk around saying that word to any of us. It just should not happen. Those insults should not be hurled to anyone. But it was definitely enlightening to hear, I guess, a different point of view on it. Michael Beasley seems to be on a great path to really showing people who he is. And he's right. You know, as fans and sometimes even as media, we let what we've read be the ultimate decision maker in who we think a person is. And more times than not, we judge them forever based on that. And I hope that all of us can have a more open and fluid mind when it comes to forming opinions on all people. You know, give them a chance to show you who they are. And hopefully you got a peek into Michael Beasley by listening to this. So best of luck to Michael this season. Huge thanks to him for coming on the podcast. Thank you for listening. Like, subscribe, and leave a review, please. I am Taylor Rooks. Talk to you soon.